Listen to the beginning of a radio talk with the scientist Sarah Jane Blakemore and mark the statements below 1-12 with T if they're true and F if they're false. We are going to listen to the passage twice.
Hello and welcome to the podcast of The Life Scientific, first broadcast on BBC Radio 4. I'm Jamal Khalili and my mission is to interview the most fascinating and important scientists alive today and to find out what makes them tick. My guest today is unusual in that her area of study barely existed when she first started working in it just 12 years ago. Since then, she's been responsible for an explosion of research in the field. Sarah Jane Blakemore is Professor of Cognitive Neuroscience at University College London and is fascinated by the teenage brain. Until recently, it was thought that brain development is all over by early childhood. But it's her discoveries that have helped reveal the intricate and vast changes the adolescent brain still has to make on the way to adulthood. She's passionate that teenagers shouldn't be demonised or made the butt of jokes, but instead should have our sympathy, and that we should examine carefully how we teach and nurture them. Sarah Jane Blakemore, welcome to The Life Scientific.
Thank you.
Of course, your research is into the workings of the adolescent brain, but what is it about the teenage experience in more general that interests you so much?
I'm really interested in teenage typical behaviours or adolescent typical behaviours, things like heightened self-consciousness, this feeling of acute embarrassment we have when we're teenagers, especially in front of our parents. I'm also interested in things like risk-taking, this increased propensity for teenagers to take risks, and peer influence. If you look at when teenagers take those risks, it's normally when they're with their friends, not when they're on their own. And often in talks, I like to pick out examples of these teenage typical behaviours. And one example is from a letter that was written to the Guardian newspaper a couple of years ago. So this is a reader writing into the Guardian, and she says, "There's nothing like teenage diaries for putting momentous historical events in perspective. This is my entry for the 20th of July, 1969. I went to Art Centre by myself in yellow cords and blouse. Ian was there, but he didn't speak to me. Got rhyme put in my handbag from someone who's apparently got a crush on me. It's Nicholas, I think. Man landed on moon." That's just a really nice example of how, you know, for this particular teenage girl, what's important to her at that moment in time are things like what she's wearing, who she likes, who she doesn't like. The fact that man landed on moon that day is less important.
And that's quite real and perfectly valid for them, that their world, that is more important. And
we
should acknowledge that.
This is a period of life where the sense of self, and particularly the sense of social self, how other people see you, undergoes really profound transition. It's absolutely critical that teenagers go through this period of sort of discovering themselves, their identity, their moral beliefs, their political beliefs, their fashion interests, their music taste, who they hang out with, what peer groups they're in. That's what adolescence is for.
Well, you now run your own lab of scientists. You've won many awards. You already have a wealth of world-class research to your name. But can I ask you to take us back to the teenage Sarah Jane Blakemore? What were you like at school?
I was a pretty typical teenager. I was at a very high-achieving academic girls' school in Oxford. I wasn't particularly academic at school, actually. I was a little bit naughty, although not as naughty as my sisters.
In what way were you naughty?
Oh, just, you know, usual teenage misbehaviour. Nothing serious, but just things like, you know, hiding in cupboards and that kind of thing, messing around with my friends. And I wasn't actually very academic. And I think my teachers just, you know, kind of almost gave up on me. But I became really interested in learning quite late. So when I was doing my A-levels was the first time that I really suddenly understood why it was important and really interesting to learn. And then I did well. But before that, I was, you know, just a really normal teenager going out with my friends. My friends were just, you know, the most important thing in my life. And also, of course, boys.
What sort of things did you get up to? Were you rebellious?
I was a little bit rebellious. I used to do as much as I possibly could to persuade my parents to let me go out as much as possible with my friends.
Parties, raves?
Yeah, parties, raves, a few raves. Oxford was the centre of the rave scene when I was a teenager.
Yeah. And?
It was fun.
Your parents knew about this, presumably?
Yeah, well, this is the interesting thing. I think they did. At this point, I was 16, so I was a little bit older, and I think they just trusted me and allowed me that independence, which I really appreciate.
You say you weren't that academic at school, but there were early signs, weren't there, of your emerging passion for the subject of psychology. When you were just 15, you found yourself some interesting work experience.
Yes, so when I was 15, in my school, we were all required to do a week's work experience somewhere. And earlier that year, a psychologist, Professor Peter Bryant, whose daughter was at our school, had come in to give a talk about his work on dyslexia. This is my memory. He happened to have a book in his bag, which was called Autism, Explaining the Enigma by Uta Frith. And he gave me this book, and I became totally fascinated in developmental psychology and particularly developmental disorders like dyslexia and autism. And I wrote to Uta Frith and asked her if I could do a week's work experience with her. And with characteristic generosity, she allowed me to do that. So I went up to London and I spent a week in her lab. It just absolutely had the biggest impact on me out of everything that I did during my schooling.
That ignited your passion.
You will listen to the talk again.
Hello and welcome to the podcast of The Life Scientific, first broadcast on BBC Radio 4. I'm Jamal Khalili and my mission is to interview the most fascinating and important scientists alive today and to find out what makes them tick. My guest today is unusual in that her area of study barely existed when she first started working in it just 12 years ago. Since then, she's been responsible for an explosion of research in the field. Sarah Jane Blakemore is Professor of Cognitive Neuroscience at University College London and is fascinated by the teenage brain. Until recently, it was thought that brain development is all over by early childhood, but it's her discoveries that have helped reveal the intricate and vast changes the adolescent brain still has to make on the way to adulthood. She's passionate that teenagers shouldn't be demonised or made the butt of jokes, but instead should have our sympathy, and that we should examine carefully how we teach and nurture them. Sarah Jane Blakemore, welcome to The Life Scientific.
Thank you.
Of course, your research is into the workings of the adolescent brain, but what is it about the teenage experience in more general that interests you so much?
I'm really interested in teenage typical behaviours or adolescent typical behaviours, things like heightened self-consciousness, this feeling of acute embarrassment we have when we're teenagers, especially in front of our parents. I'm also interested in things like risk-taking, this increased propensity for teenagers to take risks, and peer influence. If you look at when teenagers take those risks, it's normally when they're with their friends, not when they're on their own. And often in talks, I like to pick out examples of these teenage typical behaviours. And one example is from a letter that was written to the Guardian newspaper a couple of years ago. So this is a reader writing into the Guardian, and she says, "There's nothing like teenage diaries for putting momentous historical events in perspective. This is my entry for the 20th of July, 1969. I went to Art Centre by myself in yellow cords and blouse. Ian was there, but he didn't speak to me. Got rhyme put in my handbag from someone who's apparently got a crush on me. It's Nicholas, I think. Man landed on moon." That's just a really nice example of how, you know, for this particular teenage girl, what's important to her at that moment in time are things like what she's wearing, who she likes, who she doesn't like. The fact that man landed on moon that day is less important.
And that's quite real and perfectly valid for them, that their world, that is more important. And
it
we should acknowledge that.
This is a period of life where the sense of self, and particularly the sense of social self, how other people see you, undergoes really profound transition. It's absolutely critical that teenagers go through this period of sort of discovering themselves, their identity, their moral beliefs, their political beliefs, their fashion interests, their music taste, who they hang out with, what peer groups they're in. That's what adolescence is for.
Well, you now run your own lab of scientists. You've won many awards. You already have a wealth of world-class research to your name. But can I ask you to take us back to the teenage Sarah Jane Blakemore? What were you like at school?
I was a pretty typical teenager. I was at a very high-achieving academic girls' school in Oxford. I wasn't particularly academic at school, actually. I was a little bit naughty, although not as naughty as my sisters.
In what way were you naughty?
Oh, just, you know, usual teenage misbehaviour. Nothing serious, but just things like, you know, hiding in cupboards and that kind of thing, messing around with my friends. And I wasn't actually very academic. And I think my teachers just, you know, kind of almost gave up on me. But I became really interested in learning quite late. So when I was probably when I was doing my A-levels was the first time that I really suddenly understood why it was important and really interesting to learn. And then I did well. But before that, I was, you know, just a really normal teenager going out with my friends. My friends were just, you know, the most important thing in my life. And also, of course, boys.
What sort of things did you get up to? Were you rebellious?
I was a little bit rebellious. I used to do as much as I possibly could to persuade my parents to let me go out as much as possible with my friends.
Parties, raves?
Yeah, parties, raves, a few raves. Oxford was the centre of the rave scene when I was a teenager.
Yeah. And?
It was fun.
Your parents knew about this, presumably.
Yeah, well, this is the interesting thing. I think they did. At this point, I was 16, so I was a little bit older, and I think they just trusted me and allowed me that independence, which I really appreciate.
You say you weren't that academic at school, but there were early signs, weren't there, of your emerging passion for the subject of psychology. When you were just 15, you found yourself some interesting work experience.
Yes. Yeah, so when I was 15, in my school, we were all required to do a week's work experience somewhere. And earlier that year, a psychologist, Professor Peter Bryant, whose daughter was at our school, had come in to give a talk about his work on dyslexia. This is my memory. He happened to have a book in his bag, which was called Autism, Explaining the Enigma by Uta Frith. And he gave me this book, and I became totally fascinated in developmental psychology and particularly developmental disorders like dyslexia and autism. And I wrote to Uta Frith and asked her if I could do a week's work experience with her. And with characteristic generosity, she allowed me to do that. So I went up to London and I spent a week in her lab. It just absolutely had the biggest impact on me out of everything that I did during my schooling.
That ignited your passion.